Welcome to the Straight Talk Podcast, the latest edition. I am your host, former Milwaukee County Sheriff David Clark. A couple things we're going to cover today. I will, in a little bit, get into this latest round of indictments in Georgia on President Donald Trump, but I want to start here. You know, in politics, they say timing is everything. And apparently, Joe Biden doesn't realize that. He's been hopscotching all across the nation this week, touting his Bidenomics, his economic plan, his economic policies, and how they've been good for the American people. And you know what this buffoon still can't figure out, and he keeps asking, I don't understand why the American people don't understand how good that we've been with the economy, because it's been a disaster. That's why, Joe. You know, I found out firsthand the other day, I went to fill up my truck. And I had 10 gallons in there. It's a 30-gallon tank. So I ended up putting 20 gallons in to fill it up. And I looked up at the price. $90.60 for 20 gallons of gas. So that's a unit price of $4.69. That's about 75 cents higher than it was a couple weeks ago, a month ago. So darn near $100, if I'd have started from E on the fuel gauge, it would have been $100 to fill up my vehicle. And I know many of you are being squeezed by that stuff too, your grocery bill. Doesn't Joe get it? His policies have been a disaster for the American people, for the American household, the average budget. I'm seeing figures where it's now, you know, $700 a month more than it was a couple years ago under Trump's economy. And Joe's out there saying, oh, we're doing great things for the economy. No, he's not. And then there's this. In a Wall Street Journal, mortgage rates now highest in over 20 years, with home sellers and buyers stretched 7.09% average has potential to rise more. The average mortgage rate rose to 7.09%, its highest level in more than 20 years, according to the data released Thursday by mortgage giant Freddie Mac. The increase extends a lengthy stretch of high borrowing costs that has slowed the housing market to a crawl. This marked the first time since last fall that the rate on a 30-year fixed-rate mortgage rose above 7%. A year ago, rates were running around 5%. What the hell is Joe Biden talking about? I mean, he's clueless. I guess he doesn't think that we're smart enough to... I know how to read a newspaper. I'm holding the Wall Street Journal right in front of me. I don't care what he says on the campaign trail, and that's the timing thing. For him to have done that this week, I know he was in Milwaukee, where I live, and I guess he's going to Salt Lake City, Utah, and the hell with the people in Maui, I guess. You know, they'll just have to wait. And man, when I saw the devastation that those wildfires caused, I was shocked. We heard nothing from Joe Biden. Nothing. He was forced into saying something about it. And now he's being forced to go visit the destruction. I guess he and Jill are going to Maui next week, this coming Monday. Next Monday, I don't know when it is. He didn't want to go there. He still hasn't been to East Palatine, Ohio, where they had that train wreck with those chemical cars. He still hasn't been to East Palatine, Ohio. He said he would go. He was being badgered about it by the leftist media putting some pressure on him. And so they just said, yeah, I'll get there. He still hasn't gone, and he has no intention. You know why? Because that's Trump country. That's why. The hell with them as far as he's concerned. Turning the page, I guess we can get into this. Let's talk about Iran for a minute. The Biden administration paid Iran $6 billion to release, I don't know, 4 or 5 U.S. hostages who were illegally held. Just straight up cash. And some White House official said, well, you know, we told them that any of this money has to be spent on humanitarian efforts. It can't go toward their nuclear program or so on and so forth. Do they really trust the leaders of Iran? They fell for that crap in Afghanistan. They left Afghanistan. Remember that disastrous evacuation or pullout by Biden that led to the death of 13 Marines in a terror attack on the way out of there? Other people killed on the ground? Remember the people who were hanging from the bottoms of airplanes and falling off? And then Biden the other day was shaking his finger at the television camera, and he says, you name one instance where my administration's policies have failed. One? This guy's delusional. I mean, the first thing that came to my mind was the Afghanistan withdrawal. It was a complete and abject failure. And you can go on and on and on with him. The economy's been a wreck. The border's a wreck. His border policies are a failure. And he said, you name one instance where any of my policies have failed. You know, that's why I said he's delusional. He couldn't think we're that stupid. But he knows he gets protection from the liberal media here in this country. But anyway, on the Iran thing, you know, it's just what he's doing is he's encouraging Iran to take more American hostages in the hope of getting cash for their return or their release. So it says here, according to this article, Washington Times, according to Mr. Kirby, and he's the White House National Security Council spokesman, because according to Mr. Kirby, the prisoner exchange is not connected with any discussion of Iran's nuclear capabilities. Contrary to Mr. Kirby's statements, however, the Wall Street Journal reported that Iran has reduced its stockpiles of 60% enriched uranium, a key tenet of President Biden's previously failed negotiations with Iran. It is at best highly suspicious that Iran reduced its nuclear stockpiles just one day after initiating a one-sided prisoner swap with the Biden administration. You can't trust Iran. You have to have weapons inspections, and they won't allow it. So I guess you can put Biden's foreign policy under the failures list of the Biden administration. It reminds me of, remember when Barack Obama on his way out without any congressional authorization sent pallets of U.S. money, dropped it off at some undisclosed location for Iran, for promises to stop their enrichment of uranium and their nuclear program. Pallets of cash. Nobody knows where that money came from, who approved it. He just did it. And so now they're giving him $6 billion more. And again, you know, you look at all the money being spent in Ukraine, and that thing is taking a turn for the worse. You've heard me talk about it on this podcast. All that money. And recently, Biden just approved another $13 billion to go toward Ukraine. But nothing for the border states, nothing for Maui. A little FEMA help. Don't hand me that. This guy's administration has been a nightmare, and I'm trying to figure out when America's nightmare will be over. I guess we'll have to wait until November of 2024. Now I want to talk about this latest round of Trump indictments. You know what my attitude is? I do not care. I don't care how many times they indict Donald Trump. I don't care how many counts are in that indictment. I think they said 91. I don't care if it's 291. I'm not backing off of Donald Trump. And I am tired of the Democrat Party who has weaponized the Justice Department to go after political opponents. That's the stuff of banana republics, ladies and gentlemen. I'm tired of the Democrats and the liberal media trying to think that they get to vet our candidates on the Republican slash conservative side and who the voters on that side will nominate for the presidential contest in November 2024. They don't have any say in this. They think they do. They're trying to. And Trump's numbers, he's still at about 50% of people polled that they're going to vote for him for the nomination. Those numbers are not shrinking. And those numbers are not likely to shrink. Now, I don't know for sure, but you would think after four indictments that there'd be some significant drop in his support, and it hasn't happened. And I'm tired of playing by their rules. Again, this is nothing more than a diversion. This Georgia thing is nothing more than a diversion from what's really going on within the Biden administration and his corruption and his son's corruption. Because ever since the Georgia indictments came out last week, nobody's talking about Hunter Biden anymore. Nobody's talking about Joe's connection to his son's corruption and his participation in it. That's why I said this is a diversion. All anybody's talking about is the Trump indictment. I don't care about those things. I do not care. I'm not playing by their rules anymore. And no, I don't think Trump should drop out. There was a call the other day after the Georgia indictments for Trump to drop out of the race. Absolutely not. Absolutely not. As a matter of fact, President Trump the other day called for the other candidates to drop out of the race and solidify behind him. And that's what should happen. We need to send a message to the American left, to the Democrat Party, to Joe Biden, to Merrick Garland, that this is going to be our guy, and we're going to shove him down your throat. And should he win in November of 2024, and there is evidence that he can, he will be going back to Washington, D.C., and hell will be going with him. Because it's going to be payback time. Folks, these people need to be punished for what they've done, not just to Trump. This isn't about Trump. This is about our system of justice. This is about this republic and what they've done, the damage they've done. They need to be punished for this, every one of them. And the only person that's going to do that, to hold them accountable, is going to be Donald Trump. I'm telling you right now, those other candidates are not going to do it. Trust me, they will get in there if they were to win. First of all, they can't win. None of those candidates, maybe DeSantis, but his campaign is taking on water. But none of those other people, Nikki Haley, the governor of North Dakota, I don't even know his name, so he's got no name recognition. Tim Scott, Chris Christie, they're all out of the swamp. They're all part of that political class. And I've said before, I'll say it again, you know, Donald Trump, and he's not beyond criticism. We get to criticize our side. But I think if he had one failure when he became president, he didn't go after Hillary Clinton. He should have. He should have done to her and to James Comey and to Peter Strzok and Lisa Page and McCabe and others. He should have gone after them. He should have named a special counsel and held those people accountable. But instead, he tried, it was an olive branch. He got in and said, well, no, Let's move on. Extended an olive branch. And what happened? They stuck a foot in his ass. That's what you get for being nice in Washington, D.C. And then I heard DeSantis. I was talking about his campaign. It's taking on water. I'm a little shocked by it. I still can't believe that after he announced, I think it was in May, that he was getting in. I thought he would shoot up and get within striking distance of Donald Trump. I didn't think he'd overtake him in the first, 30, 60 days. He's losing ground. His numbers are falling. Well, a couple of the other candidates, Tim Scott, who has no chance of being president of the United States, and Vivek Ramaswamy, he doesn't have any chance of being president of the United States. Their stock is rising, closing in on Ron DeSantis. And I'm not going to sit here and attack Ron DeSantis. I like Ron DeSantis. I just don't think he's the guy right now. Because we need a disruptor. We need a fighter. We need a bulldog. Ron DeSantis is not a bulldog. We need a Rottweiler as president of the United States. And that's what Trump set out to do. And he got cut off halfway through after his first term, unfortunately. But the left is doing everything they can to make sure they can damage him enough that he doesn't get elected. But I'll tell you right now, Trump supporters, they're not going anywhere. We are not going anywhere. So Trump the other day had a news conference, so to speak. It wasn't really with the media. And he was asking for more support. And his public support for his legal situation here from his supporters. And I agree with that. Folks, we got to get out in the streets. There should be rallies, a public display to the left, to the Democrats, to the leftist media. We're angry. And we're not going anywhere. So I agree with President Trump. He's asked the other candidates to drop out and get behind him. That's what should happen. It's not likely to happen. And still, I say it's up to the voters. In the end, the voters will decide. But the damage being done to our process, our political process, they've criminalized politics. It's beyond jaw-dropping. First of all, in terms of this, contesting elections, and he tried to interfere with, he didn't interfere with anything. We have a right in this country to contest election results. And that's what he was doing. Now, he may have been doing it in an unorthodox way, but he was contesting election results. Overturn an election? You know what overturning an election looks like? Hillary Clinton and the Steele dossier. She paid for a fake dossier that accused Trump of colluding with the Russians. There was no evidence of collusion with the Russians. She was interfering with a presidential election. You know what election interfering looks like? James Comey giving classified information to his, I think it was a Yale professor buddy, who then funneled it to the New York Times. Classified information in an attempt to damage Donald Trump during the campaign. You want to know what election interference looks like? Remember the text messages being exchanged between Lisa Page and her boyfriend, Peter Strzok, about Plan B? We've all seen the text messages. He'll never be president, right? Well, even if he is president, we have Plan B and we're going to do everything we can to stop him. That's election interference. You know what else election interference looks like? The FBI had Hunter Biden's laptop for a year before the 2020 election. And you know what I want to know? Because everyone, remember all the Intel chiefs signed, 32 of them former, signed saying it has all the looks of Russia disinformation. The media was in on it. The New York Times, Washington Post, big tech was in on it. Russia disinformation. The FBI knew it was real. The laptop. And they knew what was on it. And they said nothing. They said absolutely nothing. They had an obligation. You know what? Nobody is. And that's why you come to this podcast. Because I ask some probing questions. Nobody in the media has brought up, did the FBI, when they got a hold of this laptop, did they inform the U.S. attorney? Because they should have. They had an obligation. You know who that would have been at the time? Bill Barr. And I want to know, and you should want to know, did they notify Barr, hey, we got this laptop, and we've looked at its contents, and it doesn't look good, and we're going to start an investigation. We want to give you a heads up on this. And if you want to give us any direction, Mr. U.S. Attorney, Mr. Attorney General, if you want to give us any direction, go ahead. But we're going to start an investigation on this because it looks like, we don't know yet, but we want to find out if U.S. policy was being sold, and was Joe Biden involved? So the question is, was Bill Barr notified? And if Bill Barr was notified, and he should be asked, what did he do about it? This was a national security issue. National security was at risk. If the office of vice president is being sold to the Chinese, putting Joe in a compromising position, and with Ukraine as well, that's a national security issue. And did the FBI then share that with our national security agents? You know, sharing information, they have an obligation to do that. Hey, this might be an issue for you guys. We're just going to pass this information on. Know that we're doing an investigation. No, they sat on it. So when that lie was put out there, that propaganda that the Hunter Biden laptop was, you know, all of the signs of Russian disinformation, Comey and the FBI did nothing. That's what election interference looks like. Not what Trump did. I know some of that stuff, you know, I'm an investigator, former anyway. Yeah, some of it doesn't sound good when he, you know, the supposed, and by the way, he hasn't been convicted of anything, and therefore, that's election interference. These indictments are election interference. They are interfering with the 2024 election. And they easily could have held off for a year. Because there's no statute of limitations involved here. And let the election get through, and then if they want to start this crap, go ahead. But what they're afraid of is if Trump wins, we're not going to be able to do this. So we got to do it now. And again, all these indictments it's a diversion away from Joe Biden's problems. And it just amazes me how the Democrats, and they do this all the time, they protect their own. They circle the wagons when one of theirs is in battle. Right now it's Joe Biden and even Hunter Biden. Ah, there's nothing to see here. Ah, there's nothing here. You know what? They know there is. But that's how scummy they are. Because it's all about political power. That's the only thing that they're concerned about. How do we hang on to political power here? Yeah, we know Joe was up to some stuff that looks pretty, pretty shady, but we don't care. And that's why I started out, ladies and gentlemen, talking about this segment when I said, I don't care how many times they indict him, and I don't care how many counts, I don't care what they said he did. I do not care. I'm adopting the Democrats' attitude now. I don't care what they say Trump did. That's their attitude about their people. They don't care. This is about political power. Circle the wagons. divert, accuse somebody else of what you're doing. So it might be time for you to circle the wagons around Donald Trump. And like I said, this is not about Trump. It's about our republic and what's happening to it. Now, everything's being trashed. The rule of law, fairness, politics. We now have political prisoners in the United States. Like I said, that's third world nation dictatorships and banana republic stuff that has visited the United States of America. So don't hesitate. Get out in the streets. That's where the battlefield is. All across this great country, we need protests. We need rallies in support of Donald Trump, in support of the Republic. Take your flags, your U.S. flags, your Gadsden flags, whatever flag you want to take, as long as it's United States related, and get out in the streets. Show how angry you are. Because until they see that you're angry, you know what they're going to do? They're going to continue to kick sand in your face. So that's the challenge that I have for you. Enjoy the rest of your week. Just when you thought it couldn't get any better, Mike Lindell and MyPillow are launching the MyPillow 2.0. When Mike invented MyPillow, it had everything you could ever want in a pillow. Now, nearly 20 years later, he discovered a new technology that makes MyPillow even better. The MyPillow 2.0 has the patented adjustable fill of the original MyPillow, and now with the brand new fabric that is made with a temperature-regulating thread. The MyPillow 2.0 is the softest, smoothest, and coolest pillow you'll ever own. Say goodbye to tossing and turning and flipping your pillow over in the middle of the night. And more great news on the MyPillow 2.0, a buy one, get one free offer with promo code Clark. MyPillow 2.0, with its temperature regulating technology, is 100% made in the USA and comes with a 10-year warranty and a 60-day money-back guarantee. Just go to MyPillow.com and click on the radio podcast square to receive the MyPillow 2.0 buy one, get one free offer. Just when you thought MyPillow couldn't get any better, it does. MyPillow 2.0 gives you the best pillow ever. Enter promo code Clark, that's C-L-A-R-K-E, to get your MyPillow 2.0 now. Friends, I want to thank you for listening to today's episode of Straight Talk with yours truly, America's Sheriff David Clark. And a special thank you also goes out to our sponsors. My goal, as always, is to break down these complex and many times controversial issues and bring it to you straight with a little dose of common sense, no media bias, no talking points, just truth. And this podcast would not be possible without your support. I hope you enjoyed this episode, and if you did, please leave a review at Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or your favorite place to listen. And please share this message of common sense on social media. For more content, be sure to follow me on Truth Social, Twitter, Facebook, and Instagram. And just a reminder, we'd love for you to join our Straight Shooters VIP Podcast Club for only $5 per month. And with that membership, you'll receive invitations to attend private podcast events throughout the year as a VIP guest when we come to your town. Plus, if you join today, you'll also receive a free coffee mug and a sample of our private label coffee as long as supplies last. Subscribe and join at americasheriff.com. This podcast is brought to you by americasheriff.com with executive producer Judy Wilkinson of JL Wilkinson Consulting and producer Josh Wentz in partnership with our friends at Bulldog Media. If you are interested in partnering with Straight Talk Podcasts or having me speak in your area, please contact Judy at jlwilkinsonconsulting@gmail.com, 706-518-2116. That's jlwilkinsonconsulting@gmail.com. Phone number 706-518-2116. Stay tuned. Great things are coming on next week's podcast.